Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program, for making it a part of your day on Tuesday, the ninth day of the month of Cheshvan. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my great honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Elisha Friedman of Kesher Israel Congregation in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Friedman slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach L'cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Friedman to learn more about his wonderful community in Harrisburg. We did not have that opportunity the last time we had Rabbi Friedman on the call, as I believe that was back in early May. In addition to being mindful for all those whom we are davening, praying for, please include in your tefillot, in your prayers, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs. His Hebrew name is Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba, Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Defavod, with great honor, Rabbi Friedman.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. It's my honor to be able to share a few thoughts with you. The Talmud tells us, Yesh kone olamo b'sha'a achat, that there are those who acquire their share in the next, in the world to come, in just a few moments, just a minute or two. And the meaning of that statement is that generally, for most people, in order to acquire merit going into the world to come, into Olam Haba, to get reward in the next world, is a lifetime process. We work at it every day. We spend years, decades, a lifetime accumulating all of the mitzvot, all of the good deeds that we need in order to merit a large and robust portion in the world to come. But the Talmud is teaching us that there are some people, there are rare cases, where in just a moment or two, they merit going and getting reward in the world to come. And the reason is, the Talmud applies this to a few stories, the reason is because these were people who may not have led the most meritorious life, they may not have been the best person, but there was a moment in their lives when they were faced with a terrible crisis, a terrible challenge, and they rose to the occasion, and in that moment, they merited this tremendous reward in the world to come. So what the Talmud tells us that there are two paths. There's the slow and steady one, and then there's the one for those who have a moment of crisis, a challenge, that they can earn their reward in a moment or two. And the revered Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, the author of Chafetz Chaim, the great towering Torah giant of the 20th century, he had a similar teaching. He used to have these very powerful metaphors. They were simple, but they were very powerful in teaching about how to live a Jewish life. And he used to say that in order to become prominent, in order to get glory as a soldier, there's a difference between times of peace and times of war. In times of peace, it goes slowly. You have to go to a military academy. You have to do well. You have to follow orders. It takes many, many years, if not decades, to prove that you are a valuable soldier, that you're a brave and powerful and intelligent soldier. But in a time of crisis, in a time of war, the Chafetz Chaim said, when people are on the battlefield, there a soldier can distinguish themselves much more easily, much more rapidly. If they go into war and they show bravery and they fight powerfully, then in a short time they can show how valuable they are. And the Chafetz Chaim used to say that the same thing applies to our spiritual lives. In times of ease, in times of comfort, it can take years, it can take decades to really establish ourselves and to show that we're people of greatness. But in times of chaos and crisis, when we're faced with terrible challenges, very quickly, very rapidly, in a few days or weeks, we can become people of true spiritual greatness. And I think that this idea is worth keeping in mind during coronavirus, because it's all too easy to start thinking, if only I can get through, if only I can power through this time period. It's difficult, it's tense, it's stressful. If only I can just get through the next few months until the pandemic is over, then life will go back to normal. I'll have my routine, I'll be back in my schedule, and then I can really start to grow as a Jew. I can do the things that are important to me. But the truth is that as Jews, we don't just try to get through times in our life. We don't just try to get through our lives. We try to maximize it. We try to use every stage of our lives in the best way we possibly can to become people of greatness, to do what God wants from us. And pandemics, times of difficulty, and this is a time of terrible difficulty, terrible distress, those are opportunities when we can grow even more quickly, when we can accomplish even more than we would be able to in simpler times if we really seize the moment. Now, for each of us, we're going to have our own specific things that we're working on, our own values, and what we can accomplish during this time period. But I just want to highlight three things that I personally think are important during this pandemic. The first is our davening, our prayers, what we're about to do in a moment or two. Davening is always something that as Jews we work on. It's one of the essential rituals that we have. It's an opportunity to speak to God. It's a great privilege and a great responsibility. But in a pandemic, it's even much more important. It's much more vividly real why we need to daven. Every day we ask for health and sustenance. But during a pandemic, we beg God for the things that we desperately need in order to get through this pandemic. And usually, for many of us, we have our schedule of davening, where we daven, when we daven. And for many of us, it's been upended in this pandemic. We might not be able to go to the usual places we daven in. We have all sorts of changes. But this is an opportunity for us to really seize the next few months, however long this lasts, and to maximize our understanding that davening is an opportunity to speak to God. And in a pandemic, we can grow even more as people who daven in a very serious and a very thoughtful way. The second point I'd like to highlight is our interpersonal relationships. We always work on being more forgiving, being kinder to those around us. We always understand that human relationships can be challenging. Family dynamics present all sorts of challenges. But in a pandemic, all of that is even more apparent. So there's a lot more, everyone's more stressed, everyone has more tension in their lives, many of us are stuck at home, and things can get very difficult with the family relationships. People might annoy us, we're ready to respond in anger, and this is an opportunity for us to really work on controlling ourselves, not responding in anger, on being more empathetic, on being kinder, on being more forgiving of those around us. And if we just say, well, hopefully we'll get through the next few months and then we'll work on those, we'll have missed a valuable opportunity to work on that in the heat of the moment. In simpler times, people can go out, people are less stuck at home, and we don't need to work on it as much. But in the pandemic, we have an opportunity to work much more on a lot of those themes. And the third and final theme I'd like to focus on is the preservation of life. For many of us, if we don't work in healthcare professions, we rarely, if ever, are involved in saving someone's life. It's not something that we do on a daily basis at all. If I would have said to most of us a year ago that we're going to have a lot of involvement in life-saving measures, we would have thought that's unlikely and we would have considered it a great privilege. But for the last few months, that's what many of us have been doing all the time with the masks and the social distancing. We're preventing the spread of this virus, and who knows how many untold lives were spared because of the measures that we've taken. Every time we can prevent this virus from spreading a bit further, we're involved in potentially saving someone's life, and we don't even realize it. And instead of focusing only on when the masks will come off, which God willing will be soon, but in the meantime, every time we put on those masks and if you wear glasses like I do, they start to fog up. And there's all sorts of annoyances. But it also represents a tremendous privilege that we have to play a role in protecting and saving other people's lives and a tremendous mitzvah. And when the masks come off, it will be a very happy time. but we'll also have lost that opportunity to do that mitzvah. And it's a great, great mitzvah, according to our tradition, to play a role in saving another human being's life. So that is my message for today. Instead of the only focusing on, and of course we all hope that the pandemic will come to an end and that will bring many wonderful gifts with it. But in the meantime, while we have this pandemic, it's worth focusing also on what an opportunity it represents for us to grow and to grow quickly and rapidly and to achieve real greatness during this pandemic. We're going to continue with Tehillim with chapter 23, Perek Chaf Gimel. Mizmor le David Adonai ro'i lo echsar. Bin os desha yarbiseni. Almei minuchos yinahaleni. Nafshi yeshovev yancheni b'magle tzedek l'ma'an shemo. Gam ki eilech v'geitz almaves lo irara ki ata imadi. Shiftecha u'mishantecha heima yinachamuni. Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan neged tzorerai. Dishanta b'shemen roshi kosi revaya. Aftov v'chesed irdefuni kol yimei chayai v'shavti v'veit Adonai le'orech yamim. We're going to say chapter 121, Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir la'malos esa einai el haharim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai oseh shamayim va'aret. Al yitain lamot raglecha al yanum shomrecha. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha al yad yiminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yareach v'layla. Adonai yishmarcha mikol ra, yishmar es nafshecha. Adonai yishmar tzeifcha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. And we'll say chapter 130, Perek Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alos mi-ma-makin k'rasicha Adonai. Adonai shim'a b'koli, tihiyena oznecha kashuvos l'kol tachanunai. Im avonos tishmarya Adonai mi-yamod, ki imechas licha l'man tivarei. Kivisi Adonai kivsa nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti, nafshi l'Adonai mi-shomrim l'boker, shomrim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'arbei mofedus, v'hu yifes Yisrael mikol avonosav. We'll say the Mishaberach for those who are sick. Mishaberach avoseinu Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Moshe Aaron David u'Shlomo, hu yivarech v'yirape es hacholim. Bavur Shanafnu Mispalalim Bavuram Bisparzea Kadosh Barhui Male Rachamim Alehem Lahlimam Ulrafosam Ulafli Kamulafiosam Vishlach Lahem Behira Rufush Lema Mina Shamayim Liramat Evarehem Mushasagidehim Sof Shaar Khole Yisrael Rufus Anefish Rufus Aguf Hashta Bagalo Bisman Kariv Binomar Amen. We'll say Achteno. Achenu Kobes Israel Hanasunim Bataru Vashivya Haumdim Bain Bayam Uvain Bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziei mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela la'ora u'mishibud l'geula hashda b'agalo v'izman kariv v'nomar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Freeman. It's great to have you back on the program. How are you, your family, and the community doing?
Aside from the general stresses, I think we're okay. We haven't had, at the beginning of COVID, we had some very serious cases. It was, extremely stressful. But since then, I think people have really tried to be very careful. So we haven't had the worst of it. Obviously, the other parts, the quarantining and isolation and that kind of stuff, we have. And that's just the stresses that we're all dealing with. But, thank God, I think we're all grateful that we don't have much worse.
We're certainly grateful to hear that. So since we've had you on the program, I think we started this back in, around mid-June. We realized we have so many incredible pulpit rabbis around the country. We bring on the program, they teach us, learn with us some of their Torah, recite the Tehillim, and yet we get off the call. We don't find out more about you, more about your community. So I think it was around mid-June, maybe it was a little bit later, that we introduced this segment, and it's really been incredible for a few reasons. One is many of our wonderful callers have shared with me that they'll always Google the rabbi, you know, to find out more. Who is he? You know, does the voice match how young or old I think he is? And other variations. I've heard some who rate the rabbis. I've heard it all. but we realized that this could be an incredible opportunity. And an interesting thing that's come out of it is that numerous people have actually reached out afterwards saying, you know, that sounded like such an incredible community. I love the way that rabbi spoke. You know, we're actually thinking of moving, or my kids are thinking of moving. Can you get me more information? So you never know who's listening right now and might have Harrisburg on their radar. So that's a great segue for us. For our listeners who may not be familiar, who maybe have never visited Harrisburg, if you could give us that pitch, tell us about the community, more about the shul, give us a general overview, I think it'd be really helpful. Thank you.
All right. Well, yeah, thank you for this opportunity. Yeah, the last time I was on, this segment wasn't there, but it sounds like a really great addition. We definitely have seen an uptick, since COVID started because, you know, I think, not to put down anywhere, but I think a lot of people are thinking that living in a more rural or a more spacious type of community might be beneficial in a pandemic. So we definitely have seen, you know, part of that process playing out in Harrisburg. Harrisburg is a pretty well known, you know, as a city. It's the capital of Pennsylvania. So there's a lot of politics that goes on. It's also a very, very beautiful place. It's a pretty small city. You know, I think people would be surprised to know that the population is only around 50,000. So it's a very small city for a place that's, you know, so well known. It has sort of an outsized reputation. The Jewish community in Harrisburg is very old. My shul, Kesher Israel, is the only Orthodox synagogue in this area. There's, you know, in within some of the cities in the region, there's synagogues. But in, you know, the Harrisburg area, we're the only Orthodox synagogue. It's 120 years old, almost 120 years old. And we have a very strong history here. The founding rabbi of the Shul Kei was Rabbi Eliezer Silver, who's, you know, was world famous in his day. Very, very well known in the history of American Judaism. Yeah. So he was here for almost 20 years or so. This was his first pulpit. And then his son was the rabbi for 50 years, you know, 50. So for a very, very long time. And our local Jewish school is the Silver Academy. It was founded by Rabbi Eliezer Silver's son, Rabbi David Silver. So we've had very good rabbinic leadership. We've had very good lay leadership. And, you know, I'm not an expert in American Jewish history, but I always do think of our shul as having been one of those early shuls, you know, that played a role in, the founding of the OU and the major organizations and infrastructure that we think of as American Orthodoxy. So, you know, we're very proud of that. And, you know, of course, our mission has always been the same, and we keep it up till today to make sure that Harrisburg is, you know, a comfortable place where a from an Orthodox family can live a full Jewish life, have a shul, a vibrant shul with minyanim, have a local Jewish school. We have all the amenities that are needed. So that's always been our mission. And, I think we're proud that we have kept it up and we're still doing it and hope to be doing it for many, many decades.
That's another challenge. So here's the next question for you. We've seen so many changes over these past 7, now climbing into 8 months, and you've seen within your own community. What changes, what communal changes do you anticipate really as we continue to move forward through COVID and perhaps even looking towards the future if we can for a post-COVID world?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I mean, I really think about that in general, you know, for our shul, for nationally, you know, what things are going to look like, you know, like you just said, moving forward the next few months and then after that. And, you know, I think it's always, it's very hard to guess. I mean, there's the small things, which I think we all feel, you know, that more people are comfortable with Zoom. You know, we'll probably have more online programming and classes than we used to, just because people got very used to it quickly and it's convenient. So, you know, I think there's that small thing. Someone just made a comment to me, which I thought was a funny idea. You know, we've been doing some outdoor minyanim. We've been sort of slowly phasing them out, but we still have a few of our minyanim throughout the week on Friday night and Shabbos afternoon are still outdoors. So, you know, we're looking at phasing those out because it's going to get too cold. And someone made a comment to me about how much they enjoy davening outdoors and they'd like to go back to it. So, you know, I don't know if that's going to become more of a thing, that we schedule minyanim outdoors and other communities have minyanim outdoors. I do know a lot of people enjoyed it a lot over the summer months when the weather.
There's something to it. I live down in Boca Raton, and one of the first things I shared with the leadership here, you know, when we moved down a number of years ago, was that I was thinking back to being in sleepaway camp. And in camp, every now and then, they would do a big outdoor minyan. And I remember just being an incredible experience, just being able to daven under the stars and that feeling. And it was, people use the word spiritual in many different ways, but it was a spiritual davening. And so, we actually implemented it. This is well before COVID. We called it, I think it was under the stars or whatever it was, but, we did it monthly, and we do it the opposite down here. We do it in the winter. What other communities could be during the summer. But there is something to be said about it. There is something, you know, something really beautiful about davening outdoors.
I think in the Northeast, we've started to catch up with you guys. So, but, you know, and I think those are sort of, I guess, the smaller things. You know, I think the bigger issue in my mind is what you brought up, or what we were just discussing about people moving. You know, one of the dynamics that we've had in Harrisburg, and it's not just Harrisburg, it's a lot of smaller, you know, communities, is that, you know, they're really beautiful places to live. I mean, Harrisburg is a beautiful, beautiful area. There's rivers and mountains. There's a lot of beautiful outdoor stuff, and the cost of living is very, very affordable. But, you know, it's always hard to sort of find jobs and you know, help people settle in on the jobs front. So, I think one of the big question marks is how much is the world now going to move online, and are people going to be able to work remotely? And, you know, if that becomes a possibility, then I think a lot of communities like Harrisburg and, you know, smaller, more rural areas are going to have an influx from people who can keep their job and still live in a smaller community. So, you know, I think that will be something interesting to watch. It will obviously be a big shakeup of the whole world.
Yeah, certainly so. And definitely something for us to keep an eye on to see as things progress. Really, Friedman, thank you so much for being back on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tovah for good. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the master of the world, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as my good friend and colleague, Rabbi Javi Heller, will be back at the microphone to guest host the program, as unfortunately I have a conflict at this time, and I am grateful Rabbi Heller for filling in. You'll hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Yaakov Van, the Calabasas Shul in Calabasas, California. This concludes today's call with hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.